Matthew 25, and I'm on this series here about who has your heart. I'm ministering to myself as well here as I'm going through these studies and teachings and so forth. I'm actually learning things that I need to receive in my heart. It's a time for us, for God to sharpen our hearts, for God to work on our hearts, because the Bible says again, keep your heart with all diligence, because from your heart flows the issues, and it's actually the spring and the wellspring of our lives. So anything that God wants to do in us and through us must be watered. Just like in nature, trees and plants must receive water. Also, everything that God bursts in your life, whether it be your job, your education, your marriage, your relationships, it must be watered by good, clean, clear water. Amen. And so today we're going to talk about having a teachable spirit. Having a teachable spirit. We're going to talk about the heart issues here of our lives, some things that may hinder us, some things that may bless us, help us out to receive the promotions, to receive the advances, to receive the forward momentum that God wants to increase in our lives as well. Now, how many folks here like to go shopping? All the females said amen, and some men as well. I actually enjoy shopping myself sometimes, especially when there's bargains out there as well. And of course, we all know when there's shopping, there are some things out there that are called deals because they're going through a thing called a discount. Now, the question this morning is, what causes things to be discounted as far as the retail is concerned? We understand, again, some things are sold at full retail. Some things are sold at a very, very big or small discount. And some things are actually sold at a great big giant bonus. We actually receive something with it. Buy this and get this one actually free right alongside that. So there's actually bonuses out there. There's discounts and there's also retail items in our shopping. It can take place, of course, with cars, with clothing, with houses. But today's message here is not about our clothes, not about our cars, not about our houses. It's about what God wants to do inside of our lives to increase value in us by the power and by the grace and by the goodness of His Word and of His Spirit as well in our lives. About values, again, that lead to special opportunities that God wants to release to every one of us. We've got to realize again through this series here, we're going to spend a whole lot of time in the book of Proverbs with this, because Proverbs talks about the wisdom that God gives us to relate to one another in the power, the wisdom, and the might, and the anointing of Almighty God. We've heard a lot about favor in the past few years, even the past decade as well. But favor doesn't just come on us automatically by osmosis. Favor comes by you being obedient to hear God's word and put God's word into practice and draw near to God. The Bible says when Jesus Christ came out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit, it is then he began to increase in wisdom, knowledge, and stature and favor, the Bible says, with God and with man as well. As the youth are here this morning, I'm going to talk to them also this morning in this message, as well as the adults here, because I want to see, God wants to see His favor increase in your lives. You're going to find yourself having favor at high school, favor in middle school, favor in universities, favor in your jobs, favor in your marriage, favor in your community, because that favor will actually bring fruit that remains for God's kingdom advancement upon the face of the earth. Amen. So favor is not just for us, favor is also for all the people God puts in our paths to be blessed by the giftings and callings that God has placed also within us. So we can walk into a career, walk into a career having a discount on our lives. We can walk in there at retail price, which means we're going to pay what it actually is asked for as far as the asking price is concerned. Or we can actually find ourselves in a career in the realms of a bonus and saying again that you buy me and get one free on the side as well. We got to realize that life is not like the YMCA where everybody gets a trophy and we all get a prize. There actually can be a discount placed on your life by the lack of letting God be God in your life. God wants you to sell for full retail price in your career, in your marriage, your relationships. He doesn't want to sell you out there at a discount price or at a bonus price. God wants to put a premium on your head so you find yourself having the full value God's placed inside of you by destiny in Jesus' name. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 and 15, these verses say this. Jesus Christ says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country. He called his own servants and delivered goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to one he gave 2 talents, to one he gave 1 talent. To each, notice this, according to his own ability." And it says, "And then immediately he went out and went on a journey." So God gives some of us here 5 talents, 2 talents, 1 talent there, and it shows there's differing kinds of productivity and release and so forth that God puts upon people's lives. So again, I want to say to you guys, this is not the YMCA in God's kingdom. We don't all get a trophy. Paul the Apostle said, run in such a way that you receive and obtain the prize that is out there waiting for you in eternity. What it means there is you can run such a way there where you don't receive the best prize, the highest prize, and the most beneficial prize that God has in store for us. We're going to see some keys this morning on how to receive a prize, a good prize, and receive good benefit in our lives. The first question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, do I feel discounted in life? Do you feel discounted yourself somehow, some way in life? Do we feel somehow that are in marketing us, there's been issues take place even by our looks, by our appearance? Perhaps you're saying to yourself, well, because I am not so attractive, I did not receive such a great education, I'm going to release myself and give myself at a discount to people in life. That can be a very, very negative thing, because what happens there when discounts take place, sometimes even freebies are actually thrown in with the discounts. You might have seen a fireworks display that says, buy one, get 8 free. Well, that carries on also relationships. You can say as a teenage young person here, you say, well, I feel I want to be accepted by my peers and by the groups around me there, so I'm going to go ahead and go on dates there and give out some freebies perhaps in a kind of a side sexual way on the side. Giving out freebies perhaps by saying, to get with a group or a clique there at school, I'm going to take and compromise my own values. I'm going to start laughing at their jokes, believing what they say, being somebody I'm not, to try and discount myself to become accepted by the people, the peers around me, either in high school, in elementary school, middle school, even on the workplace as an adult. We find ourselves sometimes discounting ourselves and giving out some freebies to folks around us, and by doing that, cheapening the work that God wants to do in our lives. Amen? I'm saying you're not to be discounted at all and give out no freebies in any way in your life in Jesus' name. You are worth full retail price. Amen? You've been bought by the price of the blood of Jesus Christ. You are highly, highly valued in God's sight. And I'm saying live like that, act like that, and be like that upon the face of this earth. Okay? Another tactic again in discounts takes place also where we take and sometimes cover flaws up, because sometimes clothes get ripped or scratched, or there's a scratch on an appliance or something like this, a refrigerator or a stove. And all those things generate discounts in a retail store because of flaws in that. And so God also says to you, are you having flaws inside your life, you think, where you must somehow overcompensate with that by being sometimes too bold and too brash and using high-pressure tactics to try to get your way in life, try to bull your way through life because of perceived flaws that may be in your life somehow, some way. When I bought my first car back at age 17, it was nighttime in Kansas, and the salesman told me, if you'll buy this car tonight and not wait until tomorrow in the daylight, I'll give you a $500 discount on this car. Well, I thought, well, this car is only 10 months old, got 9,500 miles on it. What can be wrong with it? So I said, okay, here's my down payment. I'll buy the car at $500 discount. When the sun came out, I owned the car the next morning in my driveway. The whole dark blue paint had already oxidized and was showing cracks and flaws out throughout the entire part of that body of that Chevrolet Camaro back in 1975. How many folks know that are old timers here that in the 70s, we didn't make very many good cars? They weren't made to last a long, long time. I realized through that sometimes things receive discounts and we buy them by high-pressure tactics because there's flaws in the merchandise we're trying to buy. That can also take place in your life as well. You say, well, I don't look good enough. I don't know enough. I didn't go to the right school. I went to community college instead of going to Harvard or Yale or UT. In fact, I went to UT instead of being an Aggie, so what can I know in life? And so you're discounting yourself somehow, some way, by your education, by your lack of good looks, you think, and by all those things, you try to do things to try to compensate for that, and it can bring forth negative results in your life and bring forth bad attitudes in your life and not bring the good things that God's actually for in your life. So we're asking this morning here, what is it that causes a person to be discounted in life, and what causes them to actually be bonused in life? Because God wants there to be bonuses for you, not discounts. Amen? He wants there to be full retail value realized in your life, not discounts, by the power of God's Spirit. Some people also feel discounted because they're not in a place also in a circle of friends and people that they feel actually promote them in life. God is saying, blossom and bloom and be planted where you're at, and God will use your friends, God will use your present circumstances by His own power, by His own Spirit, to bring you in the right places at the right times to receive the promotions and blessings in life that God has in store for you also for your life. If you want to receive greatness in life, not just fame and fortune, but greatness in life, realize that true greatness never happens by yourself. True greatness only comes to people who have teams of people around them that work together in a thing called synergy, because God will take two or three together and bring forth great results from that. God never brings greatness alone and by yourself. Realize that, amen? And all the adults know as well, you cannot be great by yourself. Not famous, not rich, but really truly great to shake the world for Jesus Christ. It takes a team around you for a great business, for a great marriage, for great anything in life. It always takes more than one person to do that and accomplish that in your life. It comes by having a dream, having a vision, having a team around you to see that thing come to pass with God's help and God's grace. In this series, we're looking again at the book of Proverbs. I want to give you guys now a $500 word that Proverbs is full of. This word is antithetic parallelism. Proverbs is full of antithetic parallelisms. Big old giant $5,000 word, amen. What's that word actually mean? Parallelisms means is actually two statements side by side that are saying one thing. That's parallelisms. Antithetic means opposing ways of life being presented again in the book of Proverbs. So, for example, Proverbs says, the wise man does this, but the fool does this. The rich man does this, but the poor man does this. The angry man does this, but the self-controlled person, they do this. So they're parallelisms that are antithetic, and they all come together throughout Proverbs there. And through these, God will teach us wisdom on how to see our lives count and be great for Him with God's help and God's grace. We're going to talk about two ways of life also in this series. One will advance us, and one will also cause us to fall backwards in our lives. I pray this morning, all you that are here from age 5 to age 85, we're going to choose to listen and find ways to advance and take and reject ways that will cause you to fall back by God's goodness and grace. Amen? In the 70s, 80s, and 90s in America, we saw our nation change a whole lot in many negative ways. We saw our culture become more and more permissive, more and more demanding, more and more self-centered, more and more narcissistic in many ways, the natural realm of our nation and nations of the earth. All these things brought change to people, from your business partners to your family members to even total strangers on the street. People began to change and act differently, the way they drive, the way they act, the way they take and interact with each other there. All those things started changing in our country in the 70s and 80s and 90s in a big way. It's like it had three components to this change. These three negative components were things that were, first of all, called pride and arrogance. Pride and arrogance. Number two was rebellion. And number three was stubbornness. And stubbornness is actually the catalyst that causes this cocktail to become active and manifest in a negative way in our lives. Our culture received a whole lot of rebellious people, a whole lot of realms of stubbornness, and a whole lot of realms as well of people getting themselves involved in self-centeredness and selfishness in their lives. These are all things that are totally against God's nature, God's character, God's word, and our culture in the natural realm must be resisted to receive and embrace. God's culture will bring blessings. To receive and contain the devil's culture is always going to cause a lack of life and blessings and forward momentum in our lives, okay? If you're taking notes this morning, write this also down. This is very, very good wisdom this morning. I want to give you four groups of people that exist in life. I want my kids also here in the front to write this down especially. This is good wisdom. This is good. Four groups of people in life. The first group are the smart and the humble. That is the best group to obtain and go towards and belong to and be in your life, the smart and the humble. Number two, the not so smart and the humble. Now, the not so smart, I'm not going to say dumb, not so smart and humble, they are the overachievers of life because they got to work twice as hard to get the same results as the smart and humble do, it seems like, in their lives. The third group now is the smart and the stubborn. The smart and stubborn folks are those who take and they wonder, well, I'm smarter than all my coworkers, I'm smarter than all my classmates, yet I never seem to get ahead in my life. I don't get promotions, I don't get raises, I don't get prizes, but I'm smarter than they are because you're stubborn. The smart and the stubborn is the third group to resist that as well. The last group is the worst group of all, the stubborn and the stupid. The stubborn and the stupid is a group you do not want to belong to in your life. Amen? Now, there's many football teams, a few teams that are owned by people that actually are the smart and the stubborn. And they go 8-8 or worse almost every year in their program. That's a side issue, okay? Because I'm a little bit miffed right now about the NFL starting this week. Okay, we're going to move on here. The term we coined for this, being stubborn and stupid, the term we coined for this is a one-word term that's called attitude. You've all heard of things that, man, she's got attitude. Boy, he has really got an attitude. We're going to talk about attitude here in a moment here and some great details about this. Attitude actually means arrogance, rebellion, and stubbornness all coming together in one person's body and soul and life. We need to have a right attitude, not a bad attitude, in Jesus' name. Amen. This person is talked about in Proverbs time and time again. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 7, the first verse on the screen here today. It says, he who corrects a scoffer or a mocker, same word means the same thing, gets shame for himself, but those who rebuke a wicked man only will harm themselves. So it says mockers, scoffers. It says the stupid and the stubborn, which is what this also means here, do not like correction. They only will scoff at you, get mad at you, and actually hate you if you try and bring instruction into their lives. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 8 and 9 says this. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he also hate you. But now to become a right person, it goes on and says this. A wise man, he will actually love you if you correct him. He goes on and says, give instructions to a wise man. He'll be wiser still. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning in his life. What's this boil down to? One word. This boils down to a word called teachable. God's asking us this morning at Tree of Life Church on this Sunday morning, September 7th, 2014, are you a teachable person, or do you have an attitude where you find yourself arrogant or stubborn or rebellious in some way? Now, praise God, at this church here, we have nobody here who's among the stupid and the stubborn. Amen? I'm saying right now, by faith, all of us are among the smart and the humble in Jesus' name. And if it not be that way, may it be that way before we leave this place today. Take no prisoners. Amen? We're going to see our hearts transformed to being teachable, coachable people by God's grace and God's Spirit. All of us are going to have things happen in our lives that if we let it, can lead us to having a sick and a bad attitude. Things like broken homes, divorces, things like rejections by peers, things like disease or sickness, things like injustice, things like tragedies there in our own families, and disappointments and unfairness and things around us of abuse. These are things all of us in this room are going to suffer somehow, some way in our lives, giving us opportunity there to have a wrong attitude appear and develop inside of our hearts. You know, Hebrews tells us, beware lest a root of bitterness springs up in you and defiles many people. It tells us that rejection and things of anger can actually put a root in us, a bitterness that gives us a wrong attitude also in our lives. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 is our key verse in this whole series. And Proverbs 4:23 says this, keep your heart with all diligence. That means watch it and guard it all the time. For out of your heart springs forth again the issues of your life, which means it actually determines the course. Out of your heart's abundance determines the course of the path of your life upon this earth. I want to remind you folks here that are, again, only 15 years old, 17 years old, 12 years old. You may not believe this now, but your life is like a vapor. It goes by very fast and very quick. We that are here that are in our 40s, 50s, and 60s and beyond would say, man, I can't believe how fast the time has gone. And I'm saying, please take note this morning here and choose to keep your heart with all diligence, that the gates of your ears, your eyes, your eye gates, your soul gates, your spirit gates, receive only things that are good, just, lovely, and of a good report. And you find yourself closing out and rejecting things on purpose that stir up the flesh and rebellion and arrogance and pride and self-centeredness. These will only work against you. They will not be your friend in life at all. Amen? Let's write down now this morning here some things that came in a very amazing way. These are 5 points and 5 points side by side, like Proverbs also is. Because what happened was a pastor took a very, very famous and very, very successful executive who had many hundreds of folks under him and staff out to lunch one time and said to him, would you please spend about 2 or 3 days writing down what you found holds people back from being favored and being blessed in their lives and career, and then write those things down also that cause them to get advanced and be blessed and receive all they can receive as far as life is concerned, as far as you're seeing as a businessman, an executive over hundreds of people here. What do you see, good or bad, holds folks back, and what promotes them to go forward? And I'm going to also take those things you said. I'm going to look in the book of Proverbs. And they came back about 3 days or 4 days later. The pastor was totally amazed to find out the things this man wrote down as executive was exactly what he wrote down himself in the book of Proverbs, that God said himself, things that hold people back and things that cause folks to go forward and go for full retail price in their lives, their jobs, their marriage, their ministries, whatever else. Let's write these things down this morning and learn from Proverbs and God's wisdom. On first of all, what is 5 things that folks with attitude find themselves having as a common thread in their lives? If you find yourself in these at all, maybe find ourselves repenting and saying, God, let those things be broken off my life. But I pray we're not like that this morning. Number one here, folks of attitude don't listen to the right people. They don't listen to the right people. One of the reasons is that right people will tell you to always go uphill against the current and take on disciplines in your life of things you do not want to do. If you're going to be a popular and successful football player, track star, swimmer, whatever else, you're going to have to get up out of bed at 5 o'clock in the morning most days. You're going to have to run up sometimes some bleachers, lift some weights, pull some things with your back, and do some things your body does not want to do to be a champion football player, swimmer, tennis player, whatever else in life. And the same thing's also true about being a teacher, professor, a corporate businessman, a good wife, a good husband. It's going to take some work, some uphill climbing on your part. Amen? Folks of attitude say, I don't need that. I want to find a shortcut. I want the easy road. I want things given to me on a silver platter. That's just not how life works for the most part. Amen? One person said amen. Other folks say, that's not true. I got all my stuff on a silver platter. It all came easy. I'm doing great. So you can just scratch that first point. Proverbs 13:1 says this. A wise son heeds his father's instructions, but a scoffer and a mocker attitude person does not listen to rebuke. You know, we've talked sometimes to teenagers in our rock seminar days behind the scenes. They would bring us sometimes their youth that were very rebellious. And they say, we cannot handle our young man or our young lady here. What can you give me for advice for them? You'll find that time and time again, these young folks would say things like, my parents just don't understand me. That's why I cannot relate to them. Only my friends have my back and understand me. You see, that is, a sign of a person with a wrong attitude in their lives. Because the Bible says, honor your father, honor your mother, that it may go well with you. The adults that are here right now that are in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, and 30s as well, would say amen, that you wish you'd listened to your parents a whole lot more in your teenage years than you did. Amen? Because your parents, your aunts, your uncles, your grandparents did have some wisdom that you should have heeded decades ago. Amen? I say amen to myself. I say I need the same thing myself. Our parents have been down that path. They've been down that road. They do know most of the time what is best for you. Please listen to them. In fact, God made them to be stewards over your life. And so I'm saying, most of the time, they will be right, and so do listen to them. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2 says this. A fool, attitude person, has no delight in understanding, but only in expressing their own heart and their own opinions. That's a sign of a wrong attitude. All I want to do is, I want to talk, I want to be heard, I want to express my opinions. Yours do not matter. That's a dangerous thing in your life. Amen? Number two. Folks of attitude also always, somebody else is the one that's at fault. It's always somebody else's fault for where I'm at in my life. If I lose my job, it was a bad manager. If I flunk my class, bad teacher. If I wreck my car, they were driving like an idiot. Okay, if I get a ticket, the cop was stupid. You see, it's always somebody else's fault by the bad things that take place in my life. It's always somebody else's fault. People with attitude don't realize they're only hurting themselves when they believe like this. If you lack discipline, you only hurt yourself. Amen? Proverbs 13:13 says this, the one who despises the word will be destroyed, but those who fear the commandments or have respect for it, what it means there, will be rewarded. So every command God gives us is only for our good. It is not to bind you, rob from you, or steal from you. God's commandments are for your blessings and for your good in your life. Amen? God is only good all the time, and Satan's only bad also all the time. Okay? The executive who listed the characteristics there of attitude people, and also folks that are people that are teachable and coachable, he was asked, do you ever see people with attitude change and become people that are coachable and teachable? The executive said, very rarely do I ever see this take place. Now, why is that? Because the very thing that would cause them to change is listening to people who know more than they know and becoming teachable. And folks of attitude can't do that. They can't do the very thing that would change their hearts to become teachable, coachable, pliable people in life. They resist. The Bible says they resist. The proud folks resist things like God resists them. And so it's a very, very catch-22 type thing there. It's going to take the power of the Holy Spirit to take an attitude person's life and break that thing down and make them become teachable and coachable for their good and their blessings in Jesus' name. Amen? Number three. People of attitude won't pay the price for success. They won't pay the price for success. How many folks would agree today that real success only happens by accident on television and movies? Only Forrest Gump goes through success by accident and by weird things happening in life. You know, Forrest Gump got shot in the right place at the right time in Vietnam and met a guy there that had a gumbo, a shrimp boat. He buys the boat. The storm comes up. He's a multimillionaire. That only happens on television and movies and by those that God will somehow have great, great mercy on in short spurts in their lives to get them to wake up and smell the coffee. Amen? So understand, folks of attitude, they won't pay the price for success. They think success, again, just comes easily, comes by osmosis, comes by being an American, comes by being a Democrat, Republican there. And I'm saying success comes by hard work and being sold out to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Amen? Proverbs 21:29, the NIV, New International Version, says this. A wicked man puts up a bold front, which means he bluffs his way through life. An upright man gives thought to his ways. So those that are actually folks of attitude will try to bluff their way through and try to charisma way their way through with their personalities sometimes. They'll try to do this and do that. It's kind of a shim-sham type gray area there. And somehow, some way, they might succeed for a season, but they will not last for a long time in their place of success that comes to them. Number four, people with attitude should not be hired. And if they're hired, they should not be kept. That's pretty harsh words. The executive said this. He said, people of attitude, I found, should not be hired. If they get hired because they faked me out, when I find they have attitude, they should be fired, should not be kept. And so what happens, what it's saying here is you can help somebody who wants to learn and wants to and makes mistakes and says, I'm going to pick myself up and do better and be teachable about this. But folks of attitude say, I did nothing wrong. I'm not teachable. I can't learn from you. Proverbs 26, verse 8 says this. Like one who has a stone or ties a stone in a sling is one who gives honor or gives a job to a fool or a person of attitude. You know, back in my younger years in Kansas, I bought these slingshots. We would take and put pebbles and stones and marbles in those things and shoot targets, not cats, not dogs, not birds, of course. We'd only shoot little targets like, you know, wood, and things were very innocent, of course. But guess what? If you took those slingshots and tied a marble in that slingshot and pulled the thing back and let it go, what happens? It'll bounce right back and hit you right between the eyes and put a great big old giant welt or bruise or bloody part on your face. God says in Proverbs, like hiring a person of attitude is like having a slingshot where the marble is tied up, going to hit you right back in your face in due time. Amen? Proverbs chapter 26, verse 10 verifies this. The NIV says, like an archer who wounds at random is he who hires a person of attitude or a fool. What it means is you hire this guy to work at Taco Bell. He insults the customers. He insults the co-workers. He insults all the folks around him. He's like shooting arrows all the time, causing you business, causing you pain, causing you grief, like a slingshot with a rock tied in it is hiring a fool or an attitude person in your life. Number five, next of all, God will see to it that they lose. God will see to it that folks of attitude will eventually lose. You might be saying this morning, I got folks of attitude around me right now at my workplace. They're getting promoted. They're getting recognized. They're getting raises. What about that? Well, God says in due time, they are going to lose. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 4, NIV says this. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Folks of attitude will not win for long. They will eventually have it catch up with them. They will lose. Let's move on to the last part of this message now. What about the characteristics now of teachable, coachable people? This is better. Write these things down. Number one, those that are teachable, number one, they are desperately seeking help. Teachable people are never learning enough. They can't learn enough. They're always seeking help from somebody somewhere to help them out. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8 says this. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will only fall. If you listen to people, you're going to get wiser and wiser from their wisdom themselves. If you want to be somehow a famous athlete, a famous actress, a famous counselor, then find somebody who's been where you want to be at and take them to lunch and spend some time with them and just ask them questions and watch how their wisdom comes out of their mouths to bless your life somehow, some way. Amen? God gave us two ears and one mouth to listen twice as much as you speak. Amen? I had a college professor tell us one thing back in secular college that stuck with me all these years. He said, whenever you talk, you are learning nothing. You only can say what you already know. So be quiet and start listening. Okay? That was good advice to us back in school years and years ago from a secular, non-Christian professor. So again, when you talk, you learn nothing. Keep your mouth quiet sometimes and listen to folks around you. Receive advice and see how God will give you wisdom from that also. John chapter 14, verse 22. Notice what it says here. I saw this about 8 or so years ago, reading the Bible. Notice what it says. Judas, then your Bible says, not Judas Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Why is that significant? The Bible and God himself points out to us that Judas, who was a person who was unteachable, rebellious, and arrogant, and selfish, never asked questions. That's a mark of a person like that. They don't ask questions. The only questions Judas ever asked Iscariot was, why do you take all this spikenard and nard on this expensive perfume, Jesus, and waste it on your feet? Could have been sold for a year's wages. The Bible goes on and says, as a keeper of the money bag, all he really wanted was money for himself. The only questions he ever asked was things about his own iniquity to feed them inside of his own life. Judas, it says, not Judas Iscariot, asked questions. Number two, teachable people are always growing. They're always growing. They're learning things. They go to seminars. They go to special meetings sometimes. They read books. They watch sometimes television programs that are educational. They do things to grow in their lives. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 32 says this. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul. But he who heeds rebuke will get understanding. What does God say? God says, above everything else, get wisdom and get understanding. So God says, be teachable and do that. People of attitude will tend to stay stuck in one place in life, while teachable folks will be marked with consistent productivity and promotions in their lives. Amen? Number three, teachable people are also loyal. Now, this word loyal means two different things to teachable people and attitude people. Those that are attitude people say, well, loyal people, they're just a bunch of suck-ups. They're brown nosers. They're those that always want to get close to the boss and try to get a raise and try to be favored inside there for their own selfish gain, because that's how they think themselves. But loyal people, the Bible tells us, are blessed people and will be promoted in life if their loyalty is right and is pure and is of God. This word means something good, because teachable people say, I want my life to be great, not rich and famous, but I want my life to make a difference on the face of the earth. I want my life also to make a difference, and the only way I can be great is to be part of a team. And I realize that loyalty is the glue that holds every team together long enough to achieve greatness. If I'm going to achieve greatness, I must be loyal. Loyalty, greatness, teamwork, all work together in synergy. You've got to be loyal to have a team that'll last long enough to achieve greatness upon the earth. That's why so many rock bands fall apart after only about 3 or 4 years, because they cannot handle each other's attitudes and each other's iniquities and so forth on there. Teams can't stay together if they're full of attitude, okay? Number four here, teachable people understand authority. That's a big one. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13, the NIV says this, he who scorns instruction will pay for it, but he who respects a command is going to be rewarded. Amen? There's a line in the sand that separates losers from winners, and that line is called authority. If you cannot learn to be under authority, you are sunk in life in due time. Amen? One thing my dad taught me years ago before he died, when I was a little bitty boy growing up in the farm and also in Wichita, Kansas, he said you need to always respect your teachers and understand your teacher is always right. Now, he knew behind the scenes, teacher is not always right. Teacher's wrong sometimes. What he's trying to say is, I'm going to teach you something bigger than teacher is always right, and that is to learn to respect authority in your life. Don't backtalk. Don't be disrespectful. Don't be abusive there. Understand the teacher is always right as far as I'm concerned in your life. If you could call in the office, I'm going to always say, first of all, what did you do wrong, son? Not what did you do wrong, teacher, okay? We need to learn that also. That's going to cause our kids sometimes to say, well, authority is to be usurped, to be come against, to be challenged, to be found something wrong with. That's a dangerous thing to put in your children's lives. Amen? Because guess what? Teachers are not always right, but you're also not right to cause rebellion to come inside your child's life by saying, always question authority. Amen? So it's a big one. This is not a traditional soapy church here, okay? We talk straight, we speak straight here, we shoot from the hip here, and God hopefully will sharpen us in ways that will help your life out, okay? I know we all want to hear things like, I'm okay, you're okay, la la la, we're all going to heaven, praise God. But I'm saying, let's learn some things that actually sharpens our heart, because iron sharpens iron, and it's all good. Amen? It's all good. Moving on here. As part of the dumb and humble group, like I am myself, I've learned you can't succeed in life by just understanding half of authority. What that means is by only being in authority. You cannot be successful by only being in authority. It takes both halves. Under authority, in authority. In Jesus' name, in a godly way. Last of all, number five, God makes sure teachable people will win. Okay, that's good news. Proverbs 3:34 says this, surely God scorns the scornful, but he gives grace to the humble. The Bible also says what? By faith through grace are you saved from hell, eternal damnation, separation from God. Grace is a powerful, productive, desirable thing in your life. And God gives grace to the humble. You might be dumb and humble. You might be smart and humble. But I'm saying above all, be humble. Amen? God will give us wisdom. God will give us knowledge. God will give us insight. God will do his part. You do your part. And be teachable in Jesus' name. As I have some help here on the platform again through Tiffany or through somebody just to play something softly at the platform today, we're going to pray for a moment now this morning. If you find yourself today with a line being drawn in the sand, and you say, perhaps something that Pastor Mike has said identifies me in some way. I want to see my heart become more teachable, more pliable, more coachable, more like Jesus Christ's heart. Because the Bible is true. Everything God's word says is true to us. It is yes, and it is amen. Amen? God only has our best interest in mind today. So right now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, just for privacy's sake, let's begin to think about what the Word of God has said to us today. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us things that may be inside of our hearts that He wants to change or transform or take away from us to bring something better in their place. So, Father God, today I pray that as we are here as your children, oh God, in this congregation, that you, oh Lord, would show us the reasons we may have in our minds to have an attitude. I'm not good looking enough. I was born in the wrong family on the wrong side of town, going to the wrong school with the wrong education. All things have been against me. Father God, what you say is there's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. But my will is going to prosper. If you'll be teachable, humble, coachable, I'll make and cause my grace to be sufficient for you. God's grace is sufficient for every weakness, every shortcoming, every lack of whatever. God's grace is sufficient for us. So, Father God, this morning when our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed today, I say, first of all, Holy Spirit, deal with the hearts of people who may be in this place today who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or whose hearts may be far from you, O God, this morning. I pray, O God, draw these people, O Lord, to yourself. Let them know you love them, you're for them, not against them. That, O God, your heart is leaning, O God, toward them, becoming more and more like you are, only for their betterment, not to rob or kill or steal or destroy, but to give life and give those things that are good. If you're like that this morning and today, you say, I want to receive prayer today to receive Jesus Christ in my life, to follow him all the days of my life. Or you may be saying, I want to get my heart right with God today. Would you be very, very bold this morning? Just raise your hand. Hold it there for a moment. Anyone like that at all in the place today? Anybody else? I see two hands over here. Anybody else? Praise God. Thank you, Father. Let's all stand to our feet now, please. Let's all stand up. Thank you guys for being patient this morning here. I'm going to ask a few of our prayer partners that are here, Zida, and perhaps even Manny as well, and we'll get Jack to help us out in the front here also. And you folks that raise your hands, if you would in a moment, please, if you would, come to the front here. Go ahead and come to the front now if you would. Just begin to face the congregation, Zida and Manny and Jack. In a moment, I want you guys to raise your hands to go ahead and get with these folks in a moment, and feel free to pray with them. And we're going to believe that God's going to touch them. God's going to just see some things out of their hearts being transformed and changed for the betterment in Jesus' name. Before you folks could have a chance to come to these guys at the end of this service, I want you to pray right now as a congregation for yourselves, just for a moment, and say, Father God, take my heart, cleanse my heart, remove, oh God, wrong attitudes from my mind and from my soul. I give, Father God, my life to you, and I say, Father, Help me, O God, to rise above being unteachable, being rebellious, O God, being arrogant. Let those things that are blind spots be, O God, revealed to me. I want to be a coachable, teachable person, Father God, and receive full retail in my life. As far as the career of my life is concerned, my marriage, my relationships, my walk with you, O God, my business, whatever, O God, you place inside of my heart to do and be, I want to receive full retail price and no discounts and no freebies in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray, God, this day, give our youth, give our adults the strength, O God, to say no to things, O God, you say no to, and to say yes to those things, O God, that you say yes to. We praise you, God, and thank you for these things, O God, in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Thank you, O God. Praise you, Father.